How you doing? Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. How's everybody doing today? Can I have all y'all stand up? We want to welcome all our campuses in San Diego and Oahu. God bless y'all. All the people watching online, let's all give them a big hand out there. God bless y'all. It's good to be back. My wife and I celebrated 40 years, went to Italy and New York, and amen. I want to tell my wife I love her. Let's do another 30. I don't know, but be 40. But it was a blessing, and we were reminiscing on, you know, 40 years of being married, and even before that, dating 4 years on and off. And I love you, and I appreciate you, and I'm glad you're by my side. Thank you. Let's pray, and I want you to listen to the prayer and just kind of repeat it in your heart as I say it. Amen. As a matter of fact, let's repeat it out loud on all the campuses. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge your love for us. We acknowledge your power. We submit ourselves to you. We ask that you fill us to overflowing. Empower us with your gifts. Open our eyes to your plan for our life. Be a light onto our path. We submit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to the person next to you and give him a hug. Amen. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. On our way back from Italy, we stopped in New York, where I grew up, and visited some family and friends out there. And I got to go to my high school, where I spent probably the most enjoyable 4 years of my life. I love my high school for a lot of reasons, and I hadn't been back in a long time and hadn't met kids there for a long time. And I got to walk around the school over a couple days, talk to the football team, do a tour, blah, 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 and met a lot of great kids and was actually just amazed at the humility of these kids. And this one young lady I met, she ran track. And I was standing in the hallway, and the principal just brought it up to me and introduced it to me. So we started talking. And they said, this young lady ran a 55-second 400 meters, which is pretty fast in high school. And she won all state, all county, et cetera, et cetera. And as we were talking, I said to her, where do you get your speed from? You know, why are you so fast? And she said, I don't know. She was so sweet. I said, God gave it to you. You have a gift. You know, God has a gift for every single one of you. But you might not know it. You may be walking around, going to church sometimes, tithing, maybe never, serving, maybe never, and you come, don't bring your Bible, and Christianity's kind of like, you know, check your box, but you have a gift. And you have a gift that God has given every single one of you, and we're gonna talk about spiritual gifts today, so it's even more than one, that God has empowered you to use. And what was so much more powerful for this young lady is that not only did she have a gift of running fast, and obviously she works hard, no question. Our track team and our girls' track team has always been like winning state titles since I was there. But if she didn't use her gift at that school, she wouldn't have been a blessing to that school. So not only did she have a gift, she is a gift. And when you recognize the gift that is in you and you stir that gift up and you use that gift, you become the gift to the church. And so today I want to talk about spiritual gifts. And I want to challenge you to want and desire and know what gift it is that God has given you and that you would use it and not waste it because God has given it to you. By this way, it's a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't buy it. You can't pay God back for it. It is a gift. Everyone say gift. When you get a gift on Christmas and Easter, you don't go, a gift on Christmas and your birthday, you don't say, hey, how much do I owe you? You never say that. You say thank you. Now, sometimes you think thank you and go, yeah, thanks. And then you never do anything with it, right? But God, none of God's gifts is like that. When you realize what God has given you, the only thing you're going to say is, oh, snap. I remember the first time I was at a conference 40-something years ago. And they had a workshop for evangelism. And I felt like I was an evangelist. I didn't know too much about it. And I just went. And I was the only guy to show up to the workshop, which I felt bad for the speaker because, you know, he had a whole room of chairs. And one brother shows up. And so me and him just sat one-on-one and talked. And I know, I don't know if it discouraged him, but it really blessed me because I got one-on-one instruction about being an evangelist. And I remember walking out of the room going, I'm an evangelist. This is why I like to talk to people. This is why people get saved. And it's easy for me. And I'm passionate about it. Now I know. My encouragement to you is before you leave here today, you have a passion and you're going to make a decision to find out what God has gifted you with so you can then be a gift to the church. Now, this Saturday, we are having a team conference for all the people who serve in our ministries. And you can go to the website and get the QR code. If you're serving in a ministry, this is only for people who are already serving this Saturday. But at the service today in all the campuses, we are going to have a ministry fair for you to sign up for a ministry this week and next week. So not only do I want to encourage you to go find out what your gift is, but that you would start to say, I want to use it. We need like 400 people to serve in all our camp. We are 400 people short of team members to serve in our church. Listen to what I'm telling you. We are 400 people short of what we need to adequately serve our community. So I want to challenge you to say, listen, I want to do something. How many of y'all want to do something? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand really quick. Really good. Let's go. And all the campuses, raise your hand. We should blow that number out of the water because God has given you a supernatural ability to do something for the kingdom of God. So let's go through it. Number one, what are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are, charismata is the Greek word. It says expressions of grace and expressions of the Spirit. This is where God, this is an area in your life that the Holy Spirit is going to say, I'm going to give you an extra dose of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me say that differently because so you don't misunderstand it. When you ask Christ to come into your heart, you have all the Holy Spirit. You can't get any more of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it really slow. You can't get any more of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can get more of you. That's the question. And so when the Holy Spirit gets more of you and you allow him to have access to your mouth, to your hands, your body, your thoughts, your skills, your wallet, your time, your energy. When you say to the Holy Spirit, God, use me whatever I want. The Holy Spirit says, okay, here's how I'm going to use you. With the personality I gave you, with the culture I grew you up in, with your life experience and your design of your how you process things and your natural talent. I don't know how the process he does it, but here is the supernatural ability I'm going to give you. You're going to be a listener. You're going to be an encourager. You're going to have a loud voice and you're going to talk for me. That's me, okay? my kids call me the Beast. That's my nickname at home because I eat everything and I'm always loud. But how has God gifted you? So supernaturally, God wants to empower you and has empowered you. There was a show called Bewitched when I was a kid. Anybody remember Bewitched? Those are all the old people. How many of y'all don't remember Bewitched? You've never heard of Bewitched anywhere? Anybody? Oh, okay, a lot of y'all remember. Think about it. It's a TV show about a witch. Okay, demonic, wrapped up in nice middle-class white America. But it's a witch, okay, demonic. Okay, but let's put that aside for a minute. There was a lady on Bewitched called Gladys Kravitz. And Gladys Kravitz she had nothing to do but mind other people's business. How many of y'all know people who just mind other people's business? Amen? Just call them. When there's someone in my life, I'm not going to mention who this person is, but whenever this person starts telling me about other people's business, I call her Lenny. Lenny Kravitz, this kind of thing. So I just call, I say, you're Lenny. You're being Lenny. You're in other people's business. When you are in other people's business, that means you have way too much time on your hand. But when you realize the gift that God has given you, and you start to invest in the gift that God has given you, and how there's something that God has graced you and given you favor to do easier than other people, that it comes naturally to you. You enjoy it. You can't stop thinking about it. When you realize what that is, you ain't got no time to be looking at other people's business. There is so much pain in this world. God says, I can use you in such a powerful way. So spiritual gifts are this expression of God's grace in your life that is supernatural. I'll say it differently. It's your superpower. And it is a superpower. Because it's the way the Holy Spirit expresses himself through you in a supernatural way. So number one, spiritual gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. There are diversity of gifts. Everyone say diversity. But the same Spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can say same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. I'm going to read you a list here in a minute, but the list is way bigger than I want to read you. The Holy Spirit does things in very creative ways. So what's the here's some spiritual gifts. Word of wisdom. Some people just have words of wisdom. Word of knowledge. Faith. Healing. I'm going to tell you a healing story here in a few minutes. Miracles. Prophecy, distinguishing spirit. Some of y'all can walk in a room and go, something's weird over there. How many of y'all like that? You just kind of sense the boogeyman. And there's a boogeyman for sure. It's called the devil and his demons. But you can meet somebody and you go, something was unclean about that person. And not funky unclean, spiritually unclean. They had an unclean spirit. Some people can discern that better than other people, because God has given them a certain grace to them. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, showing mercy. Now let me tell you this. Just because you may not have a gift of doing these things doesn't mean you shouldn't do them. It just means that if you have a gift of it, you just have it on steroids. Like, I like to share my faith all the time. Now you may not be an evangelist, which really just means that you're equipped to teach other people to do it. Doesn't mean that you do it that you're the only person that should do it. We all should share our faith. Can I get an amen? That's a fact. You should share your faith. But some people just have an extra hot sauce on when they do it. Some people have an extra hot sauce on faith. They see a situation, they go, I see how it can happen. And where other people see a situation and they go, oh, it's going to be a disaster. And so you want to know, God, what gift has you given me? What superpower? And it is supernatural power. How does the Spirit of God want to express himself through me that's stronger and more powerful than in my natural power? And it's more anointed and powerful than someone who doesn't have the gift, who is a Christian. How do you want to do that to me? I would hope you'd want to know what that is. But let's take a survey. How many of y'all want to know what that is? Some of y'all are sitting there going, we'll get to you in a minute. Number three, what is the greatest gift? Here's the greatest gift. Love. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. People can brag about their gift all they want, but they have not love, they're nothing. They know theology, but they ain't got no love. We got the election coming up. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. And all too often, the world knows what Christians are against more than what they're for. Oh, I know what y'all don't like, but where's your love at? And how can you express what you believe in a loving way? It doesn't mean everyone's gonna agree with you, and some people are gonna call you out, whatever, but how could you express that and love be all wrapped up in it versus saying, nah, I'm gonna tell you why you're wrong. I was talking to someone the other day. He said, I was talking about that very thing. And he said, I can tell you everything we're against. I said, bro, where's the love? That's the greatest thing. If you can know all the theological positions of all the political issues or the social issues or whatever it is, but you have not love. You're just noise, the Bible says. Noise. Number four, why are spiritual gifts given to the church? To build the church. They're given to build the church. They're given to strengthen our ability to fight the works of the devil, overcome the works of the devil. Look at the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all of us. The reason you have your gift is to profit us. The reason I have my gift is to profit you. And to empower the church to be a light in the community. I was in, my wife and I were in several cities in Italy, And the most amazing thing to me that I'm not a history guy, at least I wasn't, are the churches there. We went into a church, St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, that you could take, and for all you who are watching, I'm standing in the Rock Church in Point Loma. This building that we're standing in is 45 feet high, 90 feet wide, and 450 feet long. It's the size of Noah's Ark, literally, and it's three levels. Noah's Ark was 450 feet long. We are 450 feet long. That's a football field and a half. 45 feet high, Noah's Ark was 45 feet high, and it was three levels. That's what this church is. You could take this building that I'm standing in and fit it inside St. Peter's Basilica. Like maybe a couple times. And then stand it up like this. It was incredible. Incredible. And I'm looking at this, and what the thing that amazed me was, I don't know how many years it took to build that, but there was two other churches we saw. One was took 400 years to build, and one was 600 years to build. And they were magnificent. And I'm thinking, man, what were they thinking? How did they do that with the technology that they didn't have? I think, what could God do in your life to benefit the church if you would just do your part? Because you're either contributing to the problem, against the problem, either you're contributing to be the problem, or you're helping solve the problem. There's no neutral participation. Because you're in here right now breathing air. Are you contributing and allowing God's gift to empower us to do what God has called us to do? Because he has not called the Rock Church to be here to listen to me talk. He's called us to bring a light to the community. And not only San Diego, but beyond. And so you are gifted. You are the missing piece in your life is you knowing what your gift is. And then you become the missing piece if you don't use that gift to build the church, whatever church you belong to. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I was talking to someone recently and they said, how could your loving God, all powerful, you say he loves everybody, and you have kids being trafficked. You have people who are poor, can't eat. You have people who are being killed. You have all kinds of division in every form and fashion on this planet. You have senseless wars. How could your loving God let that happen? How many of y'all heard that question before? It's a great question, and there's a great answer. If I was God, I would tell you this. There's 7 billion people on the earth made in my image. 7 billion people that I've offered to love them. Given them the ability to love, given you the ability to take care of each other, given you the ability to protect each other, given you my vision for how you're supposed to interact. I've given you stewardship to take care of the planet. What did you do with it? I'm asking you the same question. This is God. I'm asking you, why is that happening? Why aren't you standing up for people who can't stand up for themselves? Why aren't you speaking out for the people who are hungry and thirsty and homeless and being raped? What are you doing? I gave you supernatural power and you squandered it. You don't even know what it is. And you complain to me. And so I would tell all of us and challenge all of us as we look at the problems, start with your family, start with your neighborhood, start with our city, and whatever that God puts on your heart, to say, Lord, how do you want me to be part of the solution? And if all you said today was, I want to be part of the solution, God, stir up the gift that you have given me to build the church, to empower the church to be the solution for the problems of the world. That's his plan. There is no plan B. If you were waiting for God to come in and wipe it clean, that's gonna happen when Jesus comes back. But till then, we're on call. And we have to say, Lord, I'm stepping up to do what you've called me to do, to leverage the gift that you have called me to do. Am I making sense to you? Are y'all so quiet right now? Number five, where do spiritual gifts come from? The Holy Spirit. Everyone say Holy Spirit. I'm just gonna read this one sentence. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of them all. When your gifts are expressed, it's actually the Spirit of God expressing himself through you. It's not you. It's the Spirit of God. It's that God gave us the privilege of making us in his image so he can live inside of us. By the way, and when you make a glove in the image of a hand, and you make the glove in the image of the hand so the hand can fit inside the glove.
God made us in his image so he can fit inside of us. Now watch this. If you take the hand out of the glove is dead. Guess what you are without God in you? Dead. You can't do anything on your own spiritually. You can talk, you can walk, you can do stuff, but in the spiritual world, you're useless until the Spirit of God comes in you. And when the Spirit of God comes in you, he makes the glove do stuff the glove can't do by itself. And so the gifts come from the Spirit of God. And imagine you saying, Lord, I want to know, I want to first acknowledge that you're in my life, and then I want you to express yourself. How do you want to express yourself through me? Now, you may want God to express himself through you in a way that he says, nah, that's not going to be your calling. I want to speak. I want to go up on stage. And God says, no, you're not a speaker. I'm going to do it anyway. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. I want to be a counselor. I want to help people. You talk too much. You're not going to be a good counselor, but I'm going to be a counselor anyway. No, you're not. You're going to be a horrible counselor because God has not called you to do that. On and on and on. I want to be a leader. God has not given you to be a leader. At that level, you got to lead yourself. You got to lead maybe your family, but he's not called you at that level, but you desire it because it's your pride. Let me step back and say, Lord, reveal to me, what is it that you gifted me to do? Because once you decide what God and identify what God has gifted you to do, that is when you are going to enter the joy of the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 25, that if you are faithful in the little things, God will entrust you with the big things, and then you will enter into the joy of the Lord. And so if you're faithful in at least saying, God, how have you created me? How have you designed me? What's my purpose? And you are faithful to say, I'm going to be faithful to do what you've called me to do. Then you will enter to the joy of the Lord. Oh my gosh, let me tell you something. When I'm doing what God has called me to do, I have more joy. When I'm not doing what God's called me to do, You ever have that, like your neck is just like, Anybody? Just if you know what I'm talking about, just go, There's a word for that. I don't know what it means, but it's just not a good word. Number six, should we seek spiritual gifts? Everyone say yes. Why wouldn't you? You can go to college and get a degree. Great, and you should. You can learn a skill. Great, and you should. You can get in shape and know, you know, kinesiology and how to work out. Great. All that is great, mostly in the physical, psychological realm. But then there's a spiritual realm. They say, Lord, I do all that, and you should do all that. But in the spiritual realm, what has God gifted you to do? And how could you identify the gifts and supernatural favor that God wants to express through your life so when you are at work or at your school or talking to your neighbors at the soccer game and God has given you an ability to pray, encourage, listen, wisdom, that God can leverage that supernatural ability in that moment and that person go, where, how, what, how did that? That's where you make the benefit. That's, and that's not necessarily, I'm just going to do it here at the church. You do it on behalf of the Big C Church. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:31. Earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Number seven, do you have all of the gifts? Woo!
Well, the Bible says that he gives some to some people and then some to other people, so I don't have that gift, so that just settles it. Well,
let me ask you a question. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, do you have all the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? I'm going to give you the answer. Say yes. You never get, like, just the Holy Spirit's finger. You don't get his leg. You get all of God. That's just a fact. Okay, the Spirit fills you. And now the question is, does he have all of you? That's the question. So you get the Holy Spirit. So do you have all the Holy, when you ask Christ to be your Savior, do you have the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Does the Holy Spirit have all the gifts?
Yes.
He doesn't come into you and say, I'm gonna leave some of my ability behind. I'm gonna leave some of my power behind. He doesn't. So that means you have access to all the gifts. Now let me clarify. You may not be operating in all the gifts. In other words, he may not have assigned you. You're gonna have the gift of
all these things equally. No, 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 that's probably not gonna happen. However, you have access. And what is it? Why is that important? Because you never wanna tell yourself what you can't do. Let me rephrase it again. You never want the devil to tell you what the Holy Spirit will never do through your life. Because you could be walking through the mall. How many of y'all go to the mall? Mm-hmm. You could be... I'm sorry, all the people watching online. There's like five people raised their hand. They'll be a line on Sunday morning at 9:30 in the morning. I don't go to the mall. Let's try this one more time. Unless I'm boring you to death, you're not hearing me. How about this? How many of y'all go to the mall? Okay. Thank you. That's more like it, even though some of y'all still ain't participating. You may be going to the mall, and God says to you, hey, can you go pray for that person in the wheelchair? And you say, I don't do that. Well, who's to say what you do? No, for real. I never pray. Now, you don't even know why God's telling you to pray for them. Let's say he said, I want you to pray that they get healed. I never pray for anybody to get healed. I don't even believe in healing. How can I do that? Shut your mouth. You got the Holy Spirit. Do we got the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit have the ability to heal? Does he have the ability to use your feeble words? Dear God, I don't know what I'm doing, but please just help this person get up. Does the Holy Spirit have the ability and the permission and the right to use those simple words to bring about a miracle? Yes. Now, you may say, listen, I was standing right here, maybe right here. And I was like, God, I wanna pray for healing. I don't consider myself the gift of healing at the time. And he said, there's someone sitting right there with a leg problem. I want you to say that and pray for their leg. Now, who am I to say no to God? I don't have this gift of healing. I say to you that God has the ability and the right to do whatever he wants through your life, and the devil will continually shut you down and put you in a little box. But if you say, I got all of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has permission, and guess what? The worst thing that can happen is you can obey God, and you don't see the supernatural result of it, because there will be a supernatural result. I prayed, boom, 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 and someone watching online had a leg problem and got healed. Someone watching online that was mocking me verbally, watching me pray for someone's leg problem, and they got healed while they were mocking me. Come on, come on, come on. Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb because I pray for healings dozens of times and seen thousands of people get healed. But do I consider myself a healer? I just let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do. I'm just going to ask random. This is just random, and it doesn't matter if I get a yes or a no. Does anybody in here have a leg problem? Feel your leg. Is it healed? If it's healed, stand up. I'm just random. It's just random. It may happen, but if you feel like something happened different, I'm not gonna be embarrassed if no one stands up. Anybody feel like your leg problem got better? Look at that. And by the way, she's sitting right over here. Come on now. And you're right. Thank you. Now you're going, oh, come on, man. You paid her to do that. Do I know you? You might be spooked right now. God is mysterious. And you'd be like, well, you didn't even really pray for it. It doesn't matter. That person acts as faith. That's it. It's not about you. God is mysterious. Now, you can live your predictable, and I say boring not in a critical way, but compared to the heavenly reality. You could live your predictable, boring earthly life only and let God creep in every now and then on Sunday. Or you could say, Lord, I want to step over here and walk in the Spirit. And I want to see what you have for me. What you want me to do. So do you have all the gifts? You have access to everything God has for you. And it's up to him to decide when and how it's gonna be used. And look what the Bible says in verse 11. Let me read this whole thing. 1 Corinthians 12, 7, 11. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith in the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretations of tongues, but to each and the same, but one and the same Spirit. Everyone say one and the same? Works all these things distributing to each one individually what? As he wills. So God can give you the gift of tongues and say, listen, oh, by the way, a month later, I'm going to now give you this. And by the way, I'm only going to give it to you for right now. That's up to him. But if you could just say, Lord, I just trust you. I want you to use me. I don't want to live my life and just go about the boring, relatively speaking, the mundane, I live, I get a job, I retire, I die, and go in the grave. I want to live a supernatural life and see supernatural things happen through me. Because that's what this is about. This is a supernatural endeavor. This is not an institution like school or a hospital. This is engaging in the kingdom of God business, spiritual business, over defeating the works of the devil in people's lives. Because all those people in your life that you see that are suffering, in your neighborhood, at your job, they need God. They need God. And only God is only gonna do it through people. He's not gonna just come down and say, all right, y'all can't do it. Let me do it myself. He needs people. And he needs you to understand how he made you so you can allow him to express him supernaturally through you. Number eight. Lastly, it says, why do people ignore their gifts? This is where some of y'all are at right now. Why wouldn't you get online and find out your gift? Maybe you're scared. What's God gonna do? The number one gift is love. So that's the number one thing he's going to do to you is love you. He's going to say, now you know why you think like you think. I was talking to that girl in the high school, the track girl. I said, what do you want to do when you grow up? She said, I don't know. I said, who would you like to help and how would you like to help them? I want to help athletes, then go to school for that. I would say to all of you, God has put in you a desire that may be so buried you don't know it yet. But he has a desire baked in you to help somebody. And he has an ability to help them through the gifts he's given you. The devil wants you to run so far from that because then he can make you practically useless in the kingdom. I say practically because it's not totally. But when you identify the gifts that God has given you and you express them, the impact you have is exponential, beyond what you could ever ask or imagine. Because what God does is not only does he give you a desire and ability and an anointing and favor and supernatural power to do it, he gives you wisdom on how to create opportunities. He gives you open doors of opportunity to do it because now he can trust you with more responsibility. And you may be looking at somebody else going, why are they blessed like that? Because they're in their lane. You're not in your lane. Look what the Bible says. It says 2 Timothy 1:6-7, therefore I remind you, stir up the gift. Everyone say, stir up the gift. Say, Holy Spirit, stir up the gift in me. Give me a hunger and thirst for righteousness. It says, therefore I remind you, stir up the gift in you, which is in you through the laying on of hands, for God did not give you a spirit of fear. I don't know if, you know, what if God calls me to do this? And what if God wants me to pray for people in public? I can't do that. Stop. God will never give you more than you can ask. He's never going to give you anything he's not going to empower you to do. And he's never going to give you anything that's not going to be like better than anything you do anyway. He says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Everyone say power. Say love. And a sound mind. In other words, you're gonna be like, I got power from the Holy Spirit. I got love for those people. And I am clear on what this is all about. So when you go to work, your work has new meaning. Or you may be punching tickets. Where was that? When we came back from Italy, we went through customs, and the girl was like, the customs lady was like, where did you go? Where you from? Okay, next. Where did you go? Where you from? Next. And she had a bad attitude. She was like, next time you come, you need to do this. Next. Man, couldn't pay me enough to do that job. But even that job, imagine sitting there all day, meeting thousands of people a day from all over the world. Say, God loves you. Can I pray for you? Dear Lord, bless them in Jesus' name, boom. Imagine that. So whatever you do, imagine bringing the Holy Spirit into your job, into your world, into your family, and the change that would happen. instead of complaining about all the issues, say, Lord, how do you want to use me? I'm gonna end with this, number nine. What happens if you neglect your gift? The church suffers. We need 400 team members, not 400 people to sign up, 400 more people to show up. Because a whole lot of people sign up and never show up. What's that about? We need y'all to financially give. We have financial challenges, but we don't need you to, we just need you to do what you're supposed to do, which is tithe. Tithing is not being generous, by the way. It's being obedient. Because it's not yours. Your money's not yours. God allowed you, gave you ability to make it. And he says, I just want you to give me 10% back because I want to remind you where it came from. And then I want you to watch me bless you and so you can trust me. And you don't trust him. You don't do it. You just need to do that. If those things don't have, if you don't serve, if you don't lead, if you don't leverage the opportunities you have and the wisdom you have to help us reach, help people in San Diego and beyond, know God, grow in community, make a difference. How can we do it? It is absolutely, I say this to ad nauseum, it is absolutely not about this moment of me talking to you. This is just part of it. Y'all watch football. It's football season's in full tilt. I watched 19 games yesterday. Let me tell you something. And when they get in the huddle, they call the play. When they break the huddle, they run the play. Nobody comes to see the huddle. They only come to see the play. The world don't care what we do here. They laugh at y'all, us. They ain't going in that building, listen to that dude yelling. And they're right, unless we go out there and do what the Bible says. Amen. That's the play. And part of that, amen, come on now.